Well, let's get into something happy. Thank the light, everyone. I am the last embrace of your mother to welcome you home. And these are my wolf brothers.
I will be your compulsed warder today because I hate everything. Jeremy's going to steal this episode.
And I am your overly dramatic, chest beating, sore pectoral muscle having warder.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this rewatch journey through all things thus far Wheel of Time. We are in the smack dab of the middle of our rewatch. We just watched episode 5, season 1, Blood Calls Blood. Where do you want to start?
Did you say this was going to be fun and positive? It's not.
We're going to talk about the Dahmer party instead, everybody.
Oh, dude, I laughed so hard. I cried. I couldn't wait to get home to tell Lisa. I was like, no. You have to hear this.
I'm just going to say, I actually, for the first like half of this episode, I was like, you know what? This is first half of this episode isn't bad. It's not bad at all. And I caught a lot of stuff that I missed the first time around. We'll get to that.
That's so funny because I was like, man, I hated this episode so much more than I thought at first. Okay, hate is a strong word.
Somebody gets to be Debbie Downer besides me.
Yeah, I get to be the wet blanket today. Not completely, because there was, like you said, in the beginning, there's a lot of stuff that's good. But then, you know, God, the further it goes along, I'm just like, why am I wasting my time watching this? There could be so much better stuff.
Well, if we rank the episodes 1 to 8, this is number 8.
100%.
And...
Not for me. Next episode's number 8 for me.
Really?
No, next episode's terrible.
I'll have to watch it. I might agree with you after I watch it. Because like you said, the first part of this episode, there's a lot of good shit in it because I was really engaged. And then it's like I started getting further along. And it's kind of like after Rand and Loyal, I was like, they go into that Bond shit heavy. And I'm just like, God, if the people don't get it. I mean, I guess maybe for people who've never read, it's like, oh, this is cool. This explains a lot. But for me, I'm just like, Jesus, the horse is dead. Stop beating it. Stop hitting it.
Well, because the episode 4 was kind of slow and loreful and good. And then 5 is slow and loreful and not as good. So it's like 4 like slowed down a little bit and downshift, and it's like, okay, all right, that's fine. But then they drop down another gear for this one, and it's just like, oh God, I just want to do something. I don't even hate this episode. I just want it to build this. This is the first time I didn't like the funeral at the end, just because it's just from the middle of this episode to that, it's just a slow downhill grind.
Yeah.
And then it just ends there. You're just like, oh shit. And
get it. He's dead. We're sad. It's a TV show. It's not real life.
I'm officially a book reader now.
Yeah.
And this episode for a book reader, it was just like Justin said, like, I get it. Let's go. Like, yeah, we got it. Like, let's put something good in this. Like we've hit the,
yeah, hit that nail on the head and move on to the next one.
Yeah. We've hit the bullet points. Now what's your final paragraph?
Yeah, exactly. And you have all these ancillary characters and then you build up this character of Steppen. And I understand why they're doing it. They want to illustrate the bond and what happens to Warder after.
Well, really explain it to me then. Why couldn't you do that with just anybody? Why couldn't you do it with Lan and Moraine?
Yes, actually, absolutely.
A classic example is at the end of the season when he can't feel her. Okay, stop masking the bond.
Or the next episode where he comes in and goes, you mask the bond.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Yeah, it's in the next episode. But the one thing I wanted to say, though, is...
I know why you hate the next episode.
Steppen. Yeah, it's the whole opening. It's the whole middle and the end.
Why are we fishing?
Yes, why? Yeah. Why are we concentrating on this character?
In the next episode... We get to meet Sue Ann Sanchez, and she's a little kid.
Oh, that cute little kid.
I don't care where my favorite shit comes from.
Let me ask you something. Do you like Darth Vader?
Yeah, with the mask and the lightsaber. Mask? Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Do you like the Amiran seat and the channeling and stuff?
She's awesome.
In this next episode, you get to see her as a little kid.
Do you like Rand, Matt, and Perrin? Well, tough. You don't get to hear about them, and you don't get to have their characters, you know, established. So there.
I would watch Little Wheel of Time with these five characters as 10-year-olds.
I was going to say, Sue Ann Sentry and her dad have their own version of Blue's Clues, but it's catching fish.
It's animated and they're all chibi. They're all like little big heads and big eyes.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Perrin, were you talking to wolves again?
Shut up, Rand.
What, Rand? You channel.
Fucking redheaded fuck. Where did you come from anyways, you freak?
Wow.
Matt's just trying to get into bars.
I know, Matt's just trying to get liquor at like 10 and pinching women. You're like, stop, dude. You're going to go to jail, you fucking...
All I want to do is throw some dice and kiss some girls.
No, you fucking pervert. Hey, look, you can raise your hand. If anybody ever used to have people shoot dice on their doorstep for crack, raise your hand.
Justin's the only one that has his hand up.
For those of you out there, I am raising my hand. What's up, guys? Oh, man, are we being too loud? No, you're good. Hey, man, no one's going to steal my car stereo while they're there, I'll tell you that. Why are you fucking with my man's ride? I wasn't. That's right, you weren't.
If you've ever had a hooker break into you into your car just for the heat and to smoke a cigarette, raise your hand.
Oh, God, really?
I used to, anytime I would leave my car unlocked, nothing was ever stolen, nothing was ever out of place, but it reeked of Marlboro Lights.
And glitter.
You know what? I'm going to go a half a hand raise because I got into my car one day. And it was, I don't know if it was a hooker, but it was either a homeless person or one of my kids' friends because there was like cigarette ash and like the seat was laid back like someone slept for a while and all my change was gone.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I literally had like a cartridge of weed and a pen and like a little jar of weed like this in there. And it was like, they didn't touch it. Like, hey, man, I'll take your change, but I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Knowing you probably had a good $10 in your change.
Yeah, there was probably $10.
I was going to say, you're the kind of cat that always drops his change but never picks it up.
No.
So this episode, Blood Calls Blood, it's got some good things in it, but like just talking to you guys, like, yeah, they could have gotten to the funeral at about the halfway point and then still did something in this episode.
Or just not had the funeral at all and made all of us happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like I said, I really want to talk to somebody who's only seen the shows and see if this episode is like no, it really helped me like make sense of it. And it was, you know, I like to see, and we don't, and I was going to say, and we get to see Tar Valon, but we don't even really get to see that.
Yeah, you get some good shots of it. Okay, like you said, let's get to some actual stuff about the episode. Way to move it along, Desmond. First of all, fuck Aram. Oh, wait, no, sorry. We're doing good stuff.
That's where we left off in the last episode.
Sorry, yeah. Anyways, fuck Aram. I want to punch that guy right in his light-eyed face. No, you know, the aftermath and the funeral, just to begin with, you know, Stefan is deep in the fields. Why are they burying everybody else? That kind of, I mean, like, I get it, your eyes to die, but it's like, fuck those guys. Only one of you died, and why did they bury her with them and not take her back to the tower?
Is it just transport? Is it? I mean, I counted it just for fun.
I don't think so. They could channel. They could keep her cold.
But there was a couple of... Oh, no, she was the only Aes Sedai, wasn't she? It was one Aes Sedai.
She was like one of the only Aes Sedai. There was no warders that died.
Yeah, she's it.
Who'd they bury?
It's all the people that they fought against.
They buried all the King of Gil'dan and all of Loghain's followers that died.
What?
Yeah. They only lost one person, I think.
This pisses me off even more that they buried their enemies. I guess they're not their enemies. These were actually people that were on their side until the dragon turned them, right?
Kinda. They probably didn't think that much about Aes Sedai, period.
Yeah, no, they weren't like buddies or anything like that. It's just like a different city state that had risen up against its like rulers to try to take over, and then had decided to go outside there.
This is the worst version of, you can ask Kelly about this. Like when we're watching shows, I'll always just go, I got to bury him. Ooh, I got to bury him. Like how many people die in zombie movies because they got to track back 2 miles to bury their dad?
I know. We got to get his body. They're fucking going to eat you. Dumb as shit.
And it's his body. Like grow the fuck up. That's not your dad anymore.
Yeah, it's the oldest trope around, and it makes me insane.
This is the fact that they buried 33 of their slain enemies.
Look, you didn't leave them at Jeffrey Dahmer's house, and you got to go back and make sure he gets eaten, okay? Like, we're talking about fucking people are dead.
Can we all agree, though, the guy who played Steppen, great actor.
Fucking love him.
Like that guy. And then they build him up to kill him.
That's a bummer. I hate it when they like they cast an actor that's so good and then they're like, oh, nice arc, fucking two episodes.
Well, you know, there's a TV show called Veronica Mars, and there was a guy in the first season that they all liked and he did a really good job. And they brought him back in the third season, but they just like put a wig on him and like darkened him up a little bit. And they're like, look the other way. This is not the same guy.
Was it the guy that played the mountain?
Yeah, it was the guy who played the mountain. How'd you know? He was 6'9", 390 pounds. And they're like, but he's a completely different character.
Not the same guy.
They did that in Deadwood, too.
They did. That's right.
There was an actor who played two parts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Garrett Dillahunt. He played the guy that shot fucking dude. And then he played that other fucking rapey murderer guy, too. God, I forgot about that.
Oh,
Garrett Dillahunt, another good actor. Jeremy, your fucking TV references are so wholesome. I want to throw up. Veronica Mars.
Oh, you should watch Veronica Mars.
I'm like, hey, would you guys see the Dahmer show yet?
Veronica Mars is the rapiest fucking. I can't watch it with Kelly. Every time I'm like, oh, let me look into this. It's just like, oh, fuck.
Have you ever seen The Wizards of Waverly Place? I'm just kidding. It's a kid show. I'm just joking.
Yes. Yes. I've seen a lot of The Wizards of Waverly Place because that's what the age my kids were. They watched a lot of it.
I know. No, mine are kind of the same too. Connor was like a little bit of that. So
another thing, I'm trying to be positive about this. There are some positive things.
There's actually a lot of good things, but yeah.
This is just so fucking out of place. I actually kind of like this in TV shows, but the fact that it just showed up out of nowhere, and I don't think we'll ever see it again. When Egwene jumps on Perrin, there's a boing sound.
No.
Oh, I know. You pointed that out the first time that we watched it.
Did I?
I think it's just an accident of like the wagons kind of creaking. No, you pointed it out, and it's totally whatever they did, whatever they have going in the background, it totally sounds like a boing.
No way.
Or like a whoosh or something like
it's like a cartoony like boing, like a spring noise is the only thing I could equate it to. No, it's totally true. I think it's literally them just trying to like put some wagon noises in and they did a wrong noise.
Just put on the exact wrong second.
One more turnip curry, and I'll be joining the dogs.
What are you two talking about?
Because it's not, but it totally sounds like a little, like right when she jumps like Tigger, or, you know, like Hobbs bouncing, boing. Well, like this is a pretty small battle compared to some of the shit that goes down. Like, dude, can you imagine what Dumai's Wells will be like? They have to do it. I really hope they do it. And
I hope they don't screw that up.
Because that one's a rough one, man. And it's going to be crazy. Or even like, dude, you know what I just got to in the Gathering Storm? Do you remember the town of Hinderstap?
Yes.
Oh my God, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, that's basically like a scene from, you ever read The Gunslinger? The gun from Stephen King?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. The whole town goes crazy and tries to kill everybody. It goes Charles Takei to kill him.
Like they just turn into like beasts after, yeah.
The white cloaks in this episode were great. I liked all the white cloak shit.
Great, they're so evil. I actually got a lot to say about the white cloaks.
So when Matt and Rand finally get to Tar Valon, two sightings of Peyton Fane.
Yes.
Oh, really? I only had one. I only had the one when he's tucked in the corner. Where's the other one at?
So there's one where Rand says, do you think they'll let us into the White Tower looking like this after, you know, he's like, we need to go into an inn first. And then Peyton Fane standing in the doorway. Yep, that one.
Let me see. Show closer, Des. Closer to your camera.
Closer.
To the left. To my left. Your right. Oh, shit. That's right when they're walking through the fucking alley right after Rand gets something to eat.
So in the... Okay, I'm going to say it again. In the books, it's so much more menacing when he is... It would have been so much more menacing if he was in the state that he's in the books. In the books, he is like ragged. He's trying to find them. And he's like losing his mind. His like clothes are all falling off of him.
Because they won't let him rest. Yeah, they won't let him rest. They're just pushing him so hard.
But it's so weird in this one. He just like smiles and goes, ha, 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 and then like walks away. And you're like, well, what does that even mean? Most people don't even see it. But if they do see it, they're like, I don't understand.
Yeah, he's almost a fade at that point. He's just wandering in and out of shadows.
Well, and then he kind of comes back to reality a little bit after that, even though he's still very much insane with the mad personalities. But yeah, dude, I think they have to have his descent be a little more gradual, because if he just is insane right away, I think it's hard to kind of, he wavers back and forth, you know?
So I was actually talking to your brother-in-law, Jim, this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we've been watching the show because of you. And I was like, don't do that because of me, please.
Nice. I don't want to be responsible for those choices.
He said they're on the second to last episode and they keep getting shots of someone walking in the shadows with a long cloak. And he was like, who is it? Is it the guy who was that met up with Rand and Matt? And I was like, no, it's Peyton Fain. He's like, who? I was like, the peddler in the first episode. Oh, I don't remember that guy at all. And I was like, oh yeah. Well, if you were just watching the TV show and you don't catch all the little times when he just shows up in this episode, I don't think he shows up again until the last episode.
You hear him whistling a lot.
Yeah, but you have to almost have the subtitles on to really even, it's so.
No, it's very noticeable.
I missed it.
I don't know. For me, it's very noticeable.
It's hard to catch just because you're looking at other stuff. When you actually realize it's there, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. I had to pause a couple times because I was watching for him in Tar Valon because I knew he was there at least once. And Tar Valon just looks stunningly perfect. You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I think it's a cool thing that they throw it in there and they don't make it so obvious. It's actually kind of an Easter egg for people who are looking for things. And they don't need to make it super obvious.
Yeah, because they got lots of those in here. And that I do love. Do you think that like when the turmoil in the tower starts, remember how the city starts to get like fucked up and dirty and stuff when someone else is in charge? Do you think that will really... You probably won't see as much of it, but I think that would be cool if it's noticeable.
No, that's too in the weeds, man. That's time and money. Well, yes, they'll probably waste a lot of time on it. They'll probably do two episodes on it. No one's picking up the trash in these streets. Oh, let's have a song about that.
Do you think that Pod and Fane might be more of like a leader of the Trollocs in the show instead of being their whipping boy?
He becomes that.
Do you think he'll just be that from the beginning of the show?
Yeah, I think so, because they've made it to where you don't really get the background. You know, if you just watch the show, you get that beginning where he just shows up, then you get where he's in this episode here, where he just kind of is in the shadows. I don't think there's anything in between then. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
There's at least one more sighting of him, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so he's whistling while in Shadar Logoth. But there's no sign of him. He's not there, the actor. So he's not there.
You see the shadow of him.
But we don't even know that was him.
That's true. But you hear him whistling. You hear him whistling in the ways.
So, but that's later. So then he just shows up at the end. If I was just watching the TV show, I would have been really confused. Like, why is that peddler all of a sudden there? For what reason? They didn't establish anything.
That's okay. I mean, if you remember him from the beginning and you know, you're like, ooh, why is this guy following him around? Like.
But also he has the dagger, which makes no sense because you didn't see him there, right? He has the dagger at the end. And so for people who are watching the show, they're like, they would probably be, I would assume, very confused.
How do you think he got the dagger in the show? Leandrin?
Probably. That's the only thing I can think of.
He had to have gotten it from the tower because Moraine was the last person you see with it before him.
True. And I forgot they're in Faldara when that actually happens, when he's stabbing like Loyal. They're in Faldara. And so he had to have gone to Tar Valon and got the knife.
Well, he follows them through the ways. So like that's obvious in the show. He's whistling in the ways. And I think there's an outtake. I don't think it's actually when him walking out of the ways with the little trefoil leaf key. Do we think that's not a portal stone that Matt runs up to, right? At the beginning?
It could be. And then they're actually walking by one too. Perrin and Egwene are walking by one with the Tuath on. It's another like tall stone with writing on it.
Yeah, it's a different one because it's by a bridge, right?
Yeah, it's in a different area. It's in the woods.
Still close to Tar Valon, though, because they're all right there at that point.
Is the conversation between Loial and Matt about Jane Farstrider and Egwene,
Rand.
Rand. Yeah, he was talking with Rand.
Oh, sorry. Rand and Loial talking about Jane Forrestrider and Egwene. Is that any foreshadowing?
So Jane Forrestrider is a character that comes up later in the show, sort of.
Oh, okay. So I know we've talked about this before, but we haven't talked about this episode for 8 months. The dragon is, for all intents and purposes, looking into Matt's soul, right?
You mean...
So when the dragon...
Loghain.
Well, yeah, when Loghain is being drugged through the city and we see that cut of him laughing, looking at the boys, and we all assume that he's looking at Rand because Rand's the dragon, but he's not. It's Matt that has the reaction to him.
That's more of a red herring because...
That's just like a callback to the book, yeah.
Yeah, what happens in the book is Rand is sitting on top of the wall and they pull Loghain through the city. And if it's Camelon, not Tar Valon. And he sees him standing on the wall and starts laughing. What you come to find out later, should I even spoil this or just say nah? Something, he can see certain things, Loghain can.
Well, yeah, you can spoil it. One of his, there's talents with a capital T that any channeler has. And some people, and one of Loghain's talents is he can see Tavirin. Which is kind of a lame talent because usually there's only 2 to 3 in the world at a time. So you know.
I mean, if you're the fucking, you know, if you're the man, then might as well have some small T's along with your big T's.
Yeah, that's true.
So Loghain basically says that he saw Rand standing on top of the wall and he was just like a blazing sun, and he just starts laughing like you've chained me up. And that's the guy standing on top of the wall right there.
That's the guy you should be going after. That guy's going to fuck everything up.
That's the guy who's going to go and change the world.
Okay.
Well, and then there's later when Rand and Loghain are like having a conversation and was like, you know, Loghain's kind of like, you know, what's to say that I wasn't the guy, you know, and you just happened to get lucky or something like that, you know, or whatever. I can't remember what he says, but he's just like, how was I supposed to know that it wasn't me? And then Rand like does something with the power and Loghain's like, oh.
I get it now.
Because Loghain's really strong, but he's nothing compared to
Rand. But he's a pinprick compared to the blazing.
Yes.
Well, and by the time that they're both trained at the end, you know, Loghain has come a long way, but Rand is just, he's next level. He's godlike.
Loghain lasts that long? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Read the books.
Loghain's arc is fantastic. They better not fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's really good. He's one of my favorite characters, actually.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty good character.
He's a G, dude. He's a total G. Champion of the light, for sure. You know what? If Rand wasn't the dragon, he would have been an okay dragon.
One of the parts I really like is when they try to shove Nynaeve into the warder's quarters and they're like, you'll be safe in here. And she's like, I'm not worried. And they go through the whole thing. And she says, well, maybe if I'm as powerful as you say that maybe you should be worried about me. And Lan looks over at Moraine and just rolls his eyes. I was like, oh, that was pretty funny, actually.
I didn't catch that. That's fucking great. I love Nynaeve when she first gets to the tower, too. She's just kind of like walking around in awe. It's like her first fucking day at West Beverly or some shit. I wonder if they'll like me. You know what? She doesn't give a fuck.
Fucking Lorraine. I always say Lorraine. That's not her. What's her fucking name?
It's Lorraine. We love that.
It is Lorraine.
It's okay. Lorraine now.
It is Lorraine. What's her fucking name?
Lorraine. No. It's Leandrin.
Leanne.
Are you kidding me right now? Is this not stick?
This is not
a bit?
No.
Oh my God.
You know I'm bad at this. I wrote down Lorraine 8 times in my notes.
Jesus. That sounds like you're shipping them, dude. Like, oh. When Leandrin and Moraine scissor each other all night, we call it Lorraine.
Oh.
We're going to make it Lorraine in here.
You want to cuddle tonight in the thunder in Lorraine?
Hey, the persimmons are in season. Want to make it Lorraine? No. No, I do not. Leandrin.
I'll get to Leandrin. I'll get back to that in a minute. I can't even deal with myself.
Dude, another thing in the Tinker Camp, like Aram like slaps Perrin on the belly. Like, hey, let's go get some food or something. Perrin just looks at him like, fucking slap my belly. Don't call me fucking chief either. Like, Jesus. It was a legit like, oh, don't. Mm-mm.
Poor Egwene with that fucking white cloak shower. Jesus Christ. That gives me chills every time.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about that part.
That was an intense scene. That was me too. That was really intense. They're fucking assholes, those guys.
I don't remember it going on that long. I always think they like showed like a quick cut just to show it. But like, yeah, that's a good 2 minutes of.
No, it's long.
Yeah.
Way too long and unnecessary.
It's, I don't know. I think showing.
They do that in the book though, don't they?
No.
I thought they did that shit. He's like, even Valda's like all covered up once they put clothes on her. Like he was like, ew, I saw boobs.
Well, I love that they scrub her up and put fresh whites on her and then they fucking drag Parrot in straight out of the mud.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cut his shirt off, start cutting his back. She's like, Jesus.
You can be stinky. Why do you think he pours the wine on the knife too? Like, is it to make it hurt more or?
Sterilize it. No, sterilize it so he doesn't get an infection. He's got to torture him as long as possible.
Wine doesn't have enough alcohol to sterilize anything.
Bro, haven't you ever read anything? Dude, that's how they used to sterilize shit, is with boiled wine.
With boiled wine?
This wine wasn't boiling.
That's why a lot of people died of gangrene.
So they...
It doesn't work great.
They tried to sterilize it with boiled wine. They didn't actually sterilize it.
This wine's not working. Grab me some leeches.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. Just bleed him. Bleed him more. You know what my favorite part of the episode was? Is when Aram just got fucking knocked on his ass. Is that Dane? Do you think that's Dane? With the douche fucking haircut that gets attacked by the wolf at the very end. That's gotta be Dane. Please make it Dane.
No, he won't come. Well, I don't know. They might not have any of the Bornholds because they might have to combine a bunch of characters. I think there's just too many White Cloaks, so they'll have to combine a bunch of them. In fact, I was thinking too, do you think that they're going to combine Leandrin and Elida? I think that they will, because if they bring in Elida, I think that's one too many more characters.
You know what? Maybe, because the way that they are, I would have, if you would have caught me before this rewatch, I would have said no. But the way, maybe it was the last episode too, when they're in the cave. No, it's this one in the tower, because...
Does it say she's gathering a lot of power?
Yeah, she's gathering a lot of power in the tower while you're gone.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, you're not here to support Swen, so... I think you very much could be right.
And that wouldn't be bad, in my opinion, because... You don't want to introduce a bunch of characters who are kind of the same people.
So why, I understand why Moraine and Swan can't like be known as being in full on cahoots, but why are they like at such odds in all the other Aes Sedai's eyes?
It's an act.
Yeah, it's the perfect act. They could never be in cahoots if they hate each other.
They hate each other so much they can never work together.
Okay.
But the main reason is because we've actually talked about a couple episodes ago, is that they happened to be, they weren't even full Aes Sedai when she had the foretelling about Rand being born.
Oh.
Or, you know, had the dragon being born. And so she sent out other sisters and she told a few people, they all mysteriously ended up dead, her included. She dropped dead right afterwards. And then the Emerald Seat that was there also died under mysterious circumstances. All the people that she sent out died under mysterious circumstances. So Moraine and Suan decided once they became sisters, that was it. They weren't talking about it. They were just going to do their thing in secret. And that was it.
Okay. I see. I forget how old the Dragon Reborn secret is.
This is a 22 year journey or a 20 year journey, you know?
Yeah. 18 years in the books, 20 years in the TV show, probably.
Been Moraine's whole life. Well, and the way she talks about the politics in the tower also kind of makes me, she's explaining the tower politics to Nynaeve, like it's gonna, you know, like it's gonna be war already and stuff hasn't even gotten bad yet.
You know, another important, this is incredibly important part. After Leandrin tells Nynaeve to go to the garden because the persimmons are in season, you can totally see Nynaeve has a cold sore on the left-hand side of her lip. 37 minutes, 36 seconds. And I was like, that's a cold sore. She thought we didn't see it. They put a lot of makeup on it, but we saw it.
Oh, we saw it.
We totally saw it. Either that or she's like really into kickboxing.
She might have got thrown off a horse. You know, they're learning on the fly.
I love too how Nynaeve gets invited to everything. She's at the funeral in the back. She's like wearing white and everybody's like beating their chest. She's just like looking left to right like, what is going on here?
Am I the only one thinks this shit is weird? Is this weird? I feel like I shouldn't be here.
I'm just gonna go. As she's like slowly backing out.
So where is that open bar?
Cash bar. What kind of funeral is this? Fucking bullshit.
This fucking funeral is horse shit. Rand is reading the Corinthian cycle, which is funny because nobody would know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even talk about Loyal at all.
Oh, that's my next thing. You know, you could have fixed him though. Get rid of the orange hair, poke up his ears a little bit and slick back his hair. Like he would look actually quite a bit like the ogres in the Ogiers in the Origins.
Yes.
It wouldn't take a lot to fix it. It wouldn't take a lot to fix. His face is right. You just have to prick up his ears, droop his eyebrows, and then slick his hair back, dude, because obviously he's part Aiel.
Yes, exactly. You're like, if I was Rand, I'd be like, red hair? What are you talking about? You got red hair.
Totally. Yeah, you have red hair, you dick. It seems like Matt looked right at Fane, dude, when he was in the when he was down in the little alley, too. Matt just seemed like he was staring at him.
Probably could feel him.
Yeah.
When they bring in, I quote, Lomaine. That Lomaine guy seems really scary. Lisa's like, what's his fucking name? Lomaine? I'm like, no. This isn't Big Trouble in Little China.
No, it couldn't have been Lomaine.
In Big Trouble in Little China, it fucking could have been. It could have been.
I'm looking that shit up.
I'm looking at more pictures of the guy who played Loyal. So he was in the Smurfs movie, apparently.
Of course he was. He's tiny.
Lopan. Lopan.
Low fat. Low fat. Low fat.
No, it's not low fat. It's Lopan.
Yes, it is.
It's P-A-N, not P-H-A-N.
Ah, whatever. Lopan. That's the I tricked you. Fucking bourbon's kicking in. Shit.
Yeah.
Pot always gets a little spicy towards the second back half.
He is not as big as I expected him to be.
I think he got cast for the voice, man.
Yeah.
Perrin's bigger than this guy. Who is Kurt Russell going to play in the Wheel of Time?
Oh, dude.
Oh, dude.
He could play one of the Forsaken. That would be awesome.
No, he's too fucking old.
Oh, you know who he could play? Gareth Bryn.
Agenor.
Yeah, oh no. Gareth Bryn. Like one of them, like one of those guys, the main captains.
Wait, I'm super stoned. Who are we talking about? Oh, Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Kurt Russell.
He could.
So when an Aes Sedai bonds to multiple warders, are those warders also bonded to each other? Or are they only
No.
So they don't feel each other at all?
Nope.
Just if they do the ceremonial bukkake, then yes.
Then they feel each other, but that's in a different way.
They feel everything.
This is the books. This is the books. Not the.
Is there more bukkake in the books?
No, not what Justin said.
Jeremy missed it. His reading comprehension sucked.
It is bad.
You missed that part, dude.
He thought it was one of the White Cloaks, bukkake.
Bukkake. It's like the fancy French star Torje. What? I have a note that says, let's make a deal. And then an arrow that says next episode. And then dot, dot, dot. I'm leaving the show. I have no idea what it means.
He's like, I wrote that sober too. And now I can't understand. I'm really high.
I did write it fairly sober. That it's, you know, the highness is just the state of mind. It's not even get high anymore. It's just, it's the booze.
You know what I missed too at the very end? It's the very end of the episode when Lan is doing his screaming. He reaches up and he opens his shirt like Michael Jackson in the black and white video. He's all,
I know he does. Oh, just a quick one of these.
Oh, no. No, it's two-handed. It's two-handed. Both hands, like he's Superman. It was bad. So bad.
I got to tell you, can I just say it? All right, I'm going to say it. I didn't watch the Warder funeral.
You cheater!
I told Lisa, I go, I can't fucking do this again.
This is like eating your vegetables, man. You have to watch that crap. You know, it's just
Oh, really? I have a row on my hand. No, the fuck I don't. I've watched it four times already. I'm good. Hey, you know what? I know what happens in this scene. Don't need to rewatch it.
You know, the part that really irritates me, too, is Lan is such a great character because he's stoic. Like he shows no emotion at any time until he meets Nynaeve and then he shows emotion to her. So it's.
Well, he met Nynaeve in the first episode, so what's your fucking point?
And it's not even, okay, sorry. Yeah, you're right, absolutely. So now he's gonna let all of his emotions out now.
Boom, he said outright. Get that on tape.
So as the books go on, their relationship is more fun. It gets more fun and flirty, and they're kind of jokey, but he would never be like that with anybody else. Never.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
And so seeing this ending where literally if someone, his best friend would have died, he would have walked up and been like, all right, let's bury him and then move on.
Well, duty is heavier than a mountain sheep herder. Some people get their head chopped off. Let's go.
Yeah. We still have a job to do.
Yeah. No, that's really how he is. That's very true. But you know what? It's one of those things like, you know, Lan is so important. People have to engage and like him right away. And I think if he's too silent, people will just not like you. I think they really like, they maybe it's like went like too try hard because they really wanted them to fall in love with characters, but you know, I can kind of be okay with that because I want everyone to love him too.
Yeah, but if you change his character completely, then he's not the same character. So what is there to love? You're just loving a different character.
I just think you don't have the time to give that background so you can have it. You can figure that out with conversations. It's like, I've never seen you act this way.
You know how you could have had more time?
By cutting out some of this crap.
You could have cut out all.
Yeah, we know. Yes. We want this podcast and show to succeed. Jeremy, you see this? Stop.
Sorry.
Stop. Yes, and. And also, too, we got a good, the Perrin and Egwene, like I said, the Perrin and Egwene and White Cloak stuff was all amazing in this episode. And I like that we get to see a little bit of wolf action. We get to see, you know, obviously Perrin is...
Oh, God, actually. I just remember, like, I'm like, yeah, then I'm like, oh, shit. Jeremy, are you doing compulsion on me right now?
I'm channeling.
Getting mad. Sorry, Dez. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's I'm just, like I said, this episode was just slow. I don't hate this episode as much as it's coming across. It was just...
I don't either.
It's like the middle books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just kind of like...
Sure.
Walking through the forest. Like, yeah, I get it. Looking at Tarvalon. Like, all right, everything's cool. Characters, this to me, they were moving the chess pieces around, but no one attacked in this episode. And so, you know, and the politics, I want the politics to be nastier. Like, if that's where we're going, like this, I know that's where we're going, but like, even just right off the bat, I want...
It's devolved pretty quick in the show. It takes a lot longer in the books.
Does it?
Yeah. And when it starts, I mean, they're kind of showing you the cracks in the tower already with Leandrin trying to kind of like, I don't know, recruit Nynaeve to sorority Alpha Gamma Vi Beta or what? Like, you know, like you could see in like Moraine talking about the politics and you can see it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be really bad because I'm seeing like the kind of the ends of that and where I'm at in the reread of The Gathering Storm. And it's been something that's been building for so long. And people just have kind of like, oh, it's okay. We just love everybody. Like, no, there are factions within factions at that tower. And it's crazy.
I mean, Leandrin's not, she's not fooling anybody, but in the sense of just, you know, moving something more forward in this episode.
Well, and I just can't believe that I didn't really, I mean, maybe we did talk about it, but I, you know, I can't believe that I didn't consider it more seriously that Leandrin could be merged with Elida from the books. I really didn't. Jeremy's kind of convinced me of that now.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's for sure, but they're going to have to.
Dude, I think you're right because, oh God, how am I going to say this without fucking ruining my shit? Nah, never mind. I'm just going to skip it.
Leave me wondering. Leave me grasping at straws.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to combine characters because there's just too many of them. And that's okay. I think we're all in agreement that that's completely fine. If there's 2,500 named characters, we can cut those down to a lot less than that.
But if you take Elida out of the story, you lessen the need for more gays a lot. She can be a side character or even an off-screen character that's talked about by Tom and Elaine and other people. And you get to drop a Forsaken right there. And you can combine Ravyn with either Samael or Demandred or somebody else.
Yeah, or you keep Ravyn and instead of Morghais.
I just don't think Ravyn is that important.
Well, if you keep Ravyn and then Morghais just doesn't survive, which is totally fine. Because she survives in the books. Goes on to like a little quest, but you can totally cut the whole part out.
You know what? Yeah, they really don't need fucking any of that. And I'm actually going to be mad if they should let her die or never bring her in because it would actually add to Galad's character, Gawain's character, especially because of how much fucking Gawain hates fucking Rand because he thinks that Rand is responsible for killing his mother at a certain point. And he hates him to the fucking bitter end, wants to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things they can do. And I'm totally for it. I understand, you know, you have to combine, even if it's this two different characters that are still there, you have to combine some of their storylines. Say Elida and Leandrin are still there, but you have to, you know, give some of one character to another. That's fine.
If it's done well, it can almost improve the story. That's what I'm hoping for. Because sometimes you have two characters, it's like, man, they would just merge together really well. And it would actually make more sense.
Yeah. And they did that really well in Game of Thrones, where they would take some character that was in it, in the show, and they would say, like, well, he's not the person or she's not the person who actually did this, but we're going to have them do it. And usually it worked out really good. There was almost nothing I can think of off the top of my head where I was like, wow, that wasn't like was in the books. And it made it really convoluted and didn't make any sense. And it wasn't well done. Most of the time it was really well done.
Yeah, I agree. I got two more things and they're huge. You started talking about the White Cloaks. So one thing, why is Eamon Valdez so already convinced that Egwene can channel? Is it just because she is traveling alone with a male? If that is the case, he's not very good at what he does, because Perrin does not move like a warder. He does not fight like a warder. He's very much a berserker tank. Warders are, I don't know, whatever the mercenary, assassin, whatever you want to call the class of character that the warder is, you know, Perrin's not that.
And he's not even armed.
Yeah, at that moment, he doesn't even have a weapon, so.
Is it because he saw them with Moraine a couple days prior? And he's pretty certain Moraine is a Aes Sedai, so he's just assuming they're traveling together?
Oh, perhaps. That's a good point.
I think he's just one of those guys that, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, he wants to kill somebody regardless. He may as well have some fun to do it.
He admits straight out to, Magicide, I don't know, whatever. He's like, I'm killing sisters because I'm going to rid the world of you foul people one at a time. And so he straight out admits that that's his mission. That was never straightforward in the books. They talk about how, maybe if they had a group of some fucking children of the light and they, found a sister out in the countryside and could get away with it, they might. But, they wouldn't dare do it openly. Which is, he's doing it pretty fucking openly.
Well, I mean, not really, because he has no respect for the Tinkers. And other than the Tinkers, they were wandering alone, so.
Yeah, but he carries their rings, too. That's pretty obvious. And he makes it obvious.
Yeah, he says to him, he says to Egwene, I'm going to rid the world of your kind.
Well, he thinks that she's going to be dead in an hour, so he's James Bond villaining her right now.
Well, yeah.
That's true. You're tied up. Please don't use your magic to untie yourself. I'm going to leave now.
Yeah, dude, he's so James Bond villain. Let's talk about my evil plan while you get free.
When he talks about Aes Sedai using their hands as an affectation, does that make you go like, oh, okay? Or does that just make you mad, more mad that Moraine was convulsing when she was attacking the Trollocs in the first episode?
Well, it makes me like,
oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No, like, it has nothing to do with that. What it does is it irritates me because the channeling doesn't have anything to do with your hands. So cutting off these women's hands and then like being able to burn them at the stake.
I'm going to crush his argument. I'm going to crush it so bad.
Being able to burn them at the stake, like when she could still just free herself and kill every single person there if she wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. They get to a point in the book, Des, that they give the females, I'm sure it could work on men too. It's something called fork root tea that makes them unable to channel because they can't concentrate enough to channel.
Oh.
It's like the equivalent of putting a Jedi in a ray shield. They get shocked every fucking time they try to concentrate, so they can't use the force.
So in theory, if Egwene was an Aes Sedai, she could just do whatever she wanted with her hands tied to that chair.
Absolutely.
Well, she doesn't fucking move at all when she burns Perrin's bonds away.
She seems like she's kind of wiggling her fingers a little bit.
She's twinkling her fingers.
Because I think they kind of made it like that's why she was only able to throw that tiny fireball and barely burn off his bindings.
Do you think she did that on purpose as a distraction because she knew that's all she could muster? Or was just like, I'm going to get this motherfucker. Oops.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was all...
I kind of feel like it was a distraction after seeing her face, you know?
Well, I think she knew she couldn't do anymore. She knew she couldn't put a fucking, she knew she couldn't balefire him, so she did the next best thing, and...
It's too funny, because when you get to see how powerful she becomes, and while Nynaeve is much more like, just as far as like amount of raw power she can draw... And she's incredibly talented with healing. The stuff that Egwene just kind of figures out and how strong she becomes and how, it's not even just about strength, the stuff that she does with the power, because she's so adept with it. She's done stuff when she gets captured, she's done stuff to survive that no Aes Sedai really living has had to do or go through. So the stuff that she's learned make her very, very amazingly dangerous.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you notice, if you were to pay really good attention while she was sitting there, she moves her nose like Samantha from Bewitched. That's how she does it.
Dude, I saw that. I saw it. And it had the little tinkle. Like tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Like she didn't do the mouth though, it was just the nose. She was like,
exactly. Which is amazing. And then when she freed her hands, she did the I Dream a Genie thing, which she like crossed her arms and blinked her eyes. Yeah.
With the fucking ponytail. I love it. I love it.
That's that boing sound you heard.
Yeah, exactly.
She was doing
here, you know what drives me nuts though? Like she frees Perrin, okay? And then Perrin just stands up and starts slowly walking towards him. Like Hulk smash, Frankenstein, fire bad. And then she stands up after she's freed herself and then stabs him. I'm like,
yeah, that's true.
Light protect me.
Well, why didn't you do that from the beginning?
He's so lame. Like, just light protect me. What are you?
Yeah.
What do you think he is? He's mad. You've been cutting his back, dude. I feel like they're going a little too hard on the White Cloaks as far as like how evil they are making them. Like the in the books, they're shitty, but they're a little more altruist. You know what I mean? Like, it's like their vision isn't just twisted in the show. They're zealots and they're fucked. And like, it's all of them, or at least a good portion of them. Like,
they do make a distinction between the Questioners and the White Cloaks. In the scene where Moraine shows up and he's like, ugh, we have one of our Questioners with us. I guess he's got to go and put his fingers all over you.
God, I know. Fucking totally gropes her. Disgusting.
All right.
No, not all right.
Not all right? Okay, it's not all right yet.
We're on one more thing.
Okay.
And it's going to be a long one. No, I'm going to try to wrap it up. Okay, real quick. Okay, look at notes. Da-da-da-da. So yeah, Nynaeve shows up. Rand thought she was dead. So he's like, holy shit. He said a thank the light. So that's good.
Yes.
He's like, oh, Matt can channel. He's like, oh, you're cute, Rand. But no. They do say something about it has been a month since Shedar Logoth.
Oh, really?
So that's how long it took him to get there. Yeah, Rand says, I haven't seen Egwene for almost a month or something like that. So it's been around a month.
That's right.
Well, right after they bury everybody, it says 1 month later. And then that's when they're getting to Tarvalon.
Really?
Yes, it does.
I didn't notice that this time.
I thought I was so slick getting it from the dialogue. Yeah, Jeremy's like, yeah, they say it on the screen, dipshit.
It says it on the screen. Sorry, guys.
I was looking for it. I've watched this episode three goddamn times today.
Three times?
Well, I've had it on while we've been recording, so. And I was like, is this the one that jumps ahead a month? And I fucking never saw it. I was too busy listening to that goddamn whoosh sound.
Oh, I got a question for you, Jeremy. Do you think that when Nynaeve healed Egwene from the breakbone, was you think that was one of the first times that she channeled?
So in the books, that's obviously the first time that she channels, but in this, they don't really say. They say that they make it more like, oh, Egwene's tough, she can get through anything. She just basically fought through it. Not that Nynaeve, you know what I mean?
That's weird, actually. I guess that's Nynaeve maybe not trying to admit that she can channel yet.
Yeah.
Also, I just think that they should change. Persimmons are gross. Can we get something better for hot lady time than persimmons are in season? I don't know. Just one guy.
Persimmons make good cookies, though.
You know what? Whatever, man. Persimmons are gross and slimy. And let's go bake cookies together. That sounds better. Okay. This is the thing I really, really want to talk about. Oh, wait. I do have one note that says, Eamon Valda, what in the Fire Island are you wearing? Because he had his like white vest and like.
Yeah. His rock and roll vest.
Bro, it's after Labor Day. Put it away. God. Holy diver. Who are the Forsaken statues, Jeremy?
Oh, you know what? I was trying to figure that out. So
one is definitely Asmodean. One's holding a guitar.
Well, one of them is definitely Ishmael because he points to it.
Yeah. That's the one with the fucking eyes and the weird mouth, right?
Yeah. It looks kind of like a lion or something. There's one with a woman her shirt's like cut kind of low. I'm like, that's got to be Grendel, right?
That's what I was thinking. She has extra large breasts. I think that's Grendel. And there's a different one that's tall, probably Lanfear.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking too. She looked kind of like, I don't know. There's something about it that made, I was like, if I was going to carve something that would say Mistress of the Night.
It was the belt and the hairband. Yeah, like they always talk about her silver belt, and she has a really prominent belt.
And then there was another one with long neck, and I was like, well, that's got to be Simmerhag, whatever, or maybe Masana.
The one with the long neck, I thought was with the rings around her neck. I was thinking Samirage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Semirag, sorry.
Because you don't really get like an explanation of her.
No.
Her, like what she looks like. And there was a real short one too, a real short statue with the, of a dude.
Samael, obviously.
Yeah, I was like, that's got to be Samael.
Well, and there's a really tall one too that's taller than the rest. I'm saying that's probably Demandred.
Probably.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I had. And for anybody who actually might be listening to this or comes across it, it's like, it's not that I hated the funeral. I get what they're trying to do. It was kind of cool what they're trying to do. But like Jeremy said, we could have been doing, there could be a lot more. You could have made it shorter, less elaborate, and spent some more time on the
developing characters.
Yeah, especially our main ones, especially our heroes, man. Because the first three books, last three books, you get a lot of characters. The books in between, it's just them. I mean, it's really just them or people who are right next to them. The POVs are Matt, Perrin, or people who are directly connected to them, whether it's Talmanes or Fael or, you know, just anybody. They're always like either our heroes or like one or two people away, you know, and it's only for a short time. And so
unless it's Winter's Heart or Crossroads of Twilight, I can't remember which one, where it's like 25 chapters in a row of Lane and you're just like, dear God.
Oh, you know what? And all the shit with the menagerie.
Yeah, that can go completely by the wayside.
Well, we'll get to that if we get to that. We're going to wrap this one up because this is obviously one of our lesser loved episodes. And I don't know if next week's episode is going to pick us up too much. So we're gonna power through
this. I'm going to have a lot to say.
The last two episodes, I know Jeremy's going to have plenty to say about that too, but I'm going to like it because things are going to be happening and I don't care what the book said.
Look, all I'm saying is Jeremy makes a big deal about how much he loves French press. Well, did you see what Eamon Valda was drinking? French press. So coincidence? You listeners be the judge.
Think not.
How's it feel being the least cool guy on this podcast, Jeremy?
I still love French press. It's really good coffee. It's my favorite.
Oh, that had nothing to do with French press. You're just a hater.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. You can send your questions or comments directly to me at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And if you want something else to listen to, and if you guys don't have anything else to say, I'm going to leave you with this.
That's the best.
All right. May you always find water and shade, and tomorrow I'll be your more enthusiastic warder. Peace.
You know, it's episodes like these that make you really miss Billy Zane. That great acting. Great, great acting.
Dragon! Dragon! Dragon!
Ileana! Ileana!
She's dead, Liz Theron.
Was not my hand. Not mine.
Well, thanks for diminishing the quality of our podcast.
It's what I do. It's why you brought me in.
You're just here to make us look good.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Yeah, but I told you this show's bad and we're doing a podcast about it.
Oh, fuck you.